right. In that Christmas program next week, they're doing a rehearsal today. So parents, just a reminder, after second service today, we got pizza for your kids, and they're going to be rehearsing for the program next week. I'm really excited about that. Now, when I think about that, Christmas has this way of stirring up all the feels, right? There's something about this season that just tugs at us a little bit more deeply. Maybe it's the glow of the lights around the house, or the sound of your favorite Christmas carols playing on the radio or being sung by kids at church, or maybe it's the smell of Christmas cookies when you walk in to your house. Maybe it's the memories, the traditions that remind you of the good old days, or the traditions that you're in the process of making right now. Whatever it is, Christmas has this way of making us feel everything a little bit more. Right? It magnifies what's already there, and that can be a good thing. You know, Christmas feels light, it feels freeing, it's family and laughter and decorations, it's kids opening presents, it's the warmth of a fire, it's moments where you think, this is how it's supposed to be. But Christmas can also feel heavy, like a burden. Maybe it's the empty chair at the table, the memory of a loved one who isn't there, maybe it's the financial stress of trying to keep up with everything and everyone. Maybe it's the ache of feeling lonely in the middle of a crowd. And more than likely, it's both, right? Light and heavy at the same time. The joy and the sorrow, they sit side by side. That's the tension. And how are you supposed to deal with that? How do you walk through that tension at this time of year? Some people, they distract themselves with all the good feelings, and they try to do just their best to suppress the bad ones. You know the people who are like too happy. You just shove everything down, you pretend that you're fine, and you're like, put on a puppy face, say Merry Christmas, I love this! And you just drown yourself in all the Christmas movies, and you're like, I have to be happy, I have to be happy. Others let the weight of it all make them resentful, that you roll your eyes at every Christmas movie. You avoid any gathering. You count the days till it's over. On the inside, you're the Grinch, and on the outside, you act like Scrooge. But here's what I want you to hear today. Those emotions, all of them, the whole range, whether they're joyful or painful or a little bit of both or all of them at the same time, they're worth listening to and paying attention to. These feelings are invitations. They're stirring up something inside of us and inviting us to tune in a little more to Jesus. You see, the true spirit of Christmas is not a vibe. It's not a fleeting feeling that we feel for a few weeks until we start packing up all the decorations and we start making our New Year's resolutions, and now all of a sudden the vibe is gone. It's not about warm moments or random acts of kindness, and those obviously are great. The spirit of Christmas is a person. The spirit of Christmas is Jesus himself. There's not really a spirit of Christmas without the spirit of Christ. Amen? He's alive. He's active. He's present. And in all the highs and the lows, he's speaking to us. The joy and the pain, the peace and the chaos of it all. Those emotions we're wrestling with, whether they're happy or messy or maybe both, are the very place that Jesus wants to meet us. He's a real God who wants to meet us in our real life. And it's through encountering the presence of Jesus that we find something better than holiday cheer. We find something more deep, more sustaining peace, something that lasts long after December 25th. And that's exactly what this group of smelly, socially awkward, and yet faith-filled shepherds experienced 2,000 years ago during the very first Christmas. In Luke chapter 2, a glorious angel delivers this extraordinary message to these ordinary shepherds. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking an extraordinary message to ordinary people like you and me, even today. It's the good news of Jesus that he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's with us in the tension of fear and faith. calling us to trust. He's with us in the tension of tears and laughter. And he's inviting us to joy. He's with us in the tension of chaos and rest, and he's offering us peace. So what I want to do is I want to lean into the Spirit of Jesus with you this morning. Let's lean into what God's Word has to say and with the message that he's speaking to us. So if you have your Bible, open up to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And if you're able, we're going to stand together and read together all the way down to verse 14. Luke 2, 8 through 14. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Let's pray. Jesus, we do want to give you glory. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And we pray that today you would help us to experience your peace, your pleasure, your joy. In the middle of the mess and the memories, in the middle of the cheer and the chaos, in this real moment, in this real life that we live, God, I pray that you would meet us with your peace. We pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can have a seat. Now let's just take a moment to step into those shoes that the shepherds are walking in, right? Picture it. You're working the night shift out in the fields with the sheep. Now, how many of you has ever worked the night shift before? Anybody? A few night shift workers, right? You know the struggle. It is just you and maybe a couple others in the quiet of the night. Maybe you're setting up logistics, or you're doing a security sweep, or you're going around and checking in on patients. And those nights mostly are uneventful. Honestly, a little boring. You're half asleep because, let's be real, no one's really sleeping well when they're on the night shift. And then out of nowhere, the phone rings or someone knocks on the door and it like startles you right out of your calm. Now imagine how much more startled these shepherds would have been. They're out in the quiet of the darkness and really all that they're hearing is the low bleating of the sheep, the crackling of the fire. They're trying to keep some kind of conversation going because they need to stay awake at least to some degree to be on defense for the sheep. Maybe joking around. But it's another uneventful night. And then suddenly, without warning, like if you've ever had a baby wake you up in the middle of the night, right? You're just like, I want to sleep. I want this to be calm. And then right, one single angel lights up the entire sky. Right, the sky erupts. It's daylight pretty much. It is the middle of the day. There is an angel with all of heaven's glory just radiating everything. And he's not from here. He is an otherworldly being. Just, and they are terrified, right? Just like, Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm half sleeping, I'm like daydreaming, but night dreaming, but not dreaming. Like I'm getting that weird zone where my thoughts are just lucid, and all of a sudden this happens. I don't know if I'd turn into, you know, if I just like keel over and like faint, if I scream, if I run. I don't know what's happening to me in that moment, but it isn't calm. whether they were frozen with fear, their hearts were pounding, maybe they thought they lost their minds, maybe they thought they just died, like, is this heaven? Whatever it is, and this is funny, the words out of the angel's mouth, his very first words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Like, it's too late. Too late, buddy. You know, like, on the angel's, like, feedback form is probably, like, message, 5 stars. Entrance, 2 stars. Okay, maybe dial it down next time. Delivery, 5 stars. Don't be afraid. Fear is a very normal reaction when something completely unexpected, totally supernatural, just breaks into your ordinary life. Now, here's the thing. The angel is not saying don't be afraid because he's reprimanding them for their fear. That's not what's happening. It's not a rebuke. He's reassuring them. Because fear is normal, but Jesus does not want you stuck in fear. He wants to reassure you that he can be trusted. And so the first thing that the angel's message is revealing here, the very first thing that he's getting across, is this moment of fear is actually an invitation to trust. That's the sense of what he's saying. Don't be afraid. What he's getting across is, hey, you're safe. We can be trusted. We're delivering something very good to you. You can trust. Because the true spirit of Christmas, Jesus himself, is not coming to add fear to their life. He's not coming to dominate, but to replace it with faith. To say, there's a lot of things you can't explain. There's a lot of things beyond you. There's a lot of things that are too glorious for you, or too difficult for you, or too overwhelming for you, but I'm here and you can trust me. The spirit of Christmas is calling us to trust. Come to find out, the angel's message obviously is very necessary. He calls them to trust something very big. It's good news that is more glorious than what you can probably just deliver by, I don't know, I'd say snail mail, but what, camel mail? It's like, hello, 4 weeks later, there's a message. No. While the shepherds are facing big fears and they're in the middle of a difficult life, like, out of nowhere, boom, this glorious, amazing invitation to trust. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Now, notice this. What he's saying here, what the angel is saying, is personal, and at the same time, it is universal. He's like, I bring you good news. I'm bringing you, very specific group of people that I'm talking to, I'm bringing you good news. But then he goes on to say, it's going to bring great joy to all people. It's not just for the shepherds, it's not just for the rich or religious, it's for everyone. It's for me, it's for you, it's for the neighbor that you're not sure about, it's for the coworker that drives you nuts, it's for everyone without discrimination. And what is this good news? This good news is, verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem. The good news is a person. You catch this? The good news is Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Now, we don't really use those titles a whole lot today, so it's possible that some of the meaning of that is lost on us. No one's going to Walmart saying, can I speak with your Lord? Hello, is your Messiah available? You don't hear, hey, can the Savior come to aisle 2 to check out a price check? Like, they're kind of churchy titles, I get, and they're easy to kind of gloss over, but they're not just for churchy people. They're relevant for us all. Here's what I mean. The Savior means that Jesus came to rescue us. From what? Rescue us from what? I'm doing fine. My life's not falling apart that bad. Yes and no. The Savior came to rescue us from the penalty of our sin. Now, another churchy word, I get it. But essentially it means this bent inside of us to live as if we are the king or the queen of our own lives. To be the one who's in charge of everything in my own life. And that when we live as if we believe that, what happens is we harm the relationships around us and we distance ourselves from God, who alone is the one who's in charge of everything. The sin done to us, the sin done by us, done around us, you know what it does? It deceives us. It wounds others. And it creates distance between us and God. And here's the good news. Jesus, the Savior, has come to rescue us from the mess of sin that we're in. He's the Savior. But not only that, he's the Messiah. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, which means the one that God promised a long time ago. The one who has been foretold, who's going to be a deliverer for God's people, the anointed deliverer, the one in whom God's presence lives, the very Son of God, the man who has come to make everything new and right. This man has been born today, and he's the Lord. He's God. He's the one in charge. God is snuggled up in a Bethlehem barn. The Savior is here to rescue us. The Messiah is here to change our lives. The Lord is here to lead us through life. In other words, it's the splendor of Christ. That's the spirit of Christmas. The splendor of Christ is the spirit of Christmas. And he is calling us to trust. He brings us joy and he offers us peace. Now, think about how incredible this must have sounded. The shepherds are just ordinary people. They're not kings. They're not religious leaders. They're not influencers of their day. In fact, they were social outcasts. They were doing not only a low-paying, thankless job, but it was one that was ceremonially unclean, meaning most of the life, the legal and religious life of the Jew, of the day-to-day Jew, going to the temple and everything kind of wrapped up and how they were living was based on the law. Those who were ceremonially unclean based on the work that they were doing with unclean animals, like, you don't get to interact with that a whole lot. So even when I might have a desire to welcome a shepherd into my life, it's like, I'm going to be cast out of the temple for a week if I can't do that. If you come into my life and we interact, like, there was a social barrier that was erected in that culture. And so now they're isolated, they're social outcasts, they're doing a low-paying, thankless job, and yet it's this extraordinary message that comes to them. The Savior of the world, the one that their ancestors has been waiting for centuries, God in the flesh has finally arrived, and here's how you're going to recognize him. Here's the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Strange. Seems very Christmassy to say lying in a manger. And instantly you're thinking, well, of course, that's where Christmas babies go. You will find a baby lying in a buffet line, like a feeding trough, a place where people just go to graze on food and eat and eat and eat. Go to the local China King buffet and you know they're buffet line, there's where the baby will be. It's like that kind of weird. That's not where babies go. So it was a very obvious sign, like, what? You're going to find a baby lying in a manger. Wait a second, Mr. Angel. Not only a baby, but the literal Savior of the world in a barn, in a feeding trough. The Messiah King is just going to sleep where the cows are eating. The infinite God is a finite human baby? It just sounded so absurd, but it was exactly what the shepherds needed to hear to believe. In fact, I think they might have been the only class of people in those days who would have even taken that message seriously. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord can be trusted because he didn't come down being all high and mighty, wielding his power and forcing people to trust him. He came humble and low. He stooped to the humiliating, ordinary level of the shepherds themselves. It's because the spirit of Christmas is not about having your life all together and cleaned up. In fact, there wasn't room in the normal spaces. There wasn't room in the hotel for him, in the inn. But there was room in the messy space, in the dirty, stinky stable. And that's the kind of heart, that's the kind of life, that's the kind of space that the shepherds existed with. And Jesus says, you can trust me, I will meet you right where you are. I will be the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord of the sinner. I'm here for you. You can trust him with your heart. You can trust him with your money. You can trust him with your marriage, with your mess. You can trust him with your family, with your job, or even your pain. The spirit of Christmas is calling you to trust the one who stepped into the mess of your world to rescue you, to change your life, and to lead you into his rest and peace. The Spirit calls us to trust, to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and to step out of fear and step into faith. But here's the incredible thing. When we do trust him, and we invite his presence into our lives, we find something unexpected. Even in the middle of whatever that is, we find this thing called joy. The angel is crystal clear about the impact that Jesus is going to have. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Now notice the choice of words. Great joy, abundant joy, overwhelming joy. He's not saying temporary happiness. He's not saying a distraction from reality. But there is something that is real, something that is lasting, something that is supernatural. It is great joy. You see, Satan wants you to believe the lie that your sorrow and your joy cannot coexist. And I don't know what you're going through this season. I don't know the depths of what you're feeling right now. But joy does not mean that everything has to be perfect. The angel's message was not, I'm going to bring you good news that will make life easy. It wasn't, I'm going to bring you good news that will solve all of your problems tonight. No, it's, I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. So if you're struggling with your finances, the good news is God will bring you great joy. If there's conflict in your marriage or in your family, in your workplace, the good news is there is great joy available. If you've experienced the loss of a job or bad health news, or even you feel like life is meaningless, the good news is that there is great joy. And the spirit of Christmas wants to step in. It's not going to deny the hard moments or pretend life is perfect when it's not. Church, hear me when I say this. This is not a space where you have to pretend like life is perfect when it's not. This is a space where the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Jesus himself wants to meet you in whatever that moment is. And you don't have to pretend to be something else just because everybody else here looks different. God can't heal who you pretend to be. The good news is available to all people. In the middle of our circumstances, the spirit of Christmas brings us joy. See, joy is not the absence of hard things. It's finding rest and peace in the presence of Jesus in the middle of those hard things. The spirit of Christmas brings us joy, and it's not a joy that arrives once you've gotten all the difficult things out of the way. No, no, no. He steps right into the middle of it. And think about that. Did the circumstances that the shepherds were living with change when that angel brought them good news that will bring great joy to all people? No. Right? They were still shepherds. They were still living hard and thankless jobs away from everybody else. They were still living under Roman rule. Life was still tough. The only thing that was going to change for them was they were about to encounter the presence of God, which changes everything. That's what joy looks like. It's not about everything being fixed. It's about having an encounter with God and realizing he's with you no matter what. He sees you. He's never going to leave you without help. God sent Jesus right down to our level, and because we have Jesus, we have the joy of everything. Remember, this is a core value number one here, is that Jesus is our everything. Jesus is our everything. When we have Jesus, we have all that we need. We have everything. He is enough. No, it is not fair that the job didn't work out. And you should feel all the feelings that come with that, but don't you know that you're secure in Jesus? It is genuinely wrong that you were betrayed and that you were abused, and that was evil, and the hurt you feel is real and should never, ever be minimized. It should be taken seriously. What you're feeling is valid, but also, at the same time, don't you know that you're loved and accepted by God Himself? I know it really hurts that your life has not turned out the way you were hoping. You should explore that and examine yourself and see, man, what is? I need to process a lot of this. The wounds and the disappointment and what I hoped and the shattered expectations. That is a very good thing to process and navigate through, and you should. I am for therapy. But also, don't you know that you're already significant to Jesus? That you expected this, but Jesus already holds you very highly, loves you enough to die for, and has entered your mess to be with you without leaving. You can be sad, you can be hurt, and often you should be. You can doubt, and at the same time, you can have the joy of the presence of Jesus through it all. Together, that is appropriate and healthy. Having joy in His presence makes way for something even deeper and more life-changing, and it's this thing called peace. After the angel delivered his message, before the shepherds had a chance to respond, it says in verse 13 and 14, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others. Almost like they were kind of like waiting for their moment. And he's like, all right, guys, come on in. The armies of heaven, like the greatest army on the universe has ever seen. The entire army of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This news is so good that they burst out into song. They're literally singing, glory to God above in heaven, peace to people below here on earth. Because the spirit of Christmas offers us peace. Now again, we've got to reframe our expectations. Maybe you think peace of that calm when the house is finally quiet, or when the kids are asleep, or the to-do list is checked off, or maybe you think of peace as a life that's free of conflict or stress or chaos. That's not the peace that the angels are singing about here. This peace runs deeper. It transcends human understanding. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It means it exceeds anything that we can fully grasp, because it's not tied to what we experience. It is not bound up in our experiences or our circumstances. It is tied to the actual peace we can experience when we are right with God. That everything else can be falling apart, but if I'm right with Him, I know I have all that I need. When we're restored and made whole on the inside, and we're reconnected with other people because of Jesus, this is why Christmas matters, because Jesus came to close the gap between God and people. And in so doing, when we are reconciled to God, He does a work inside of us that begins to work reconciliation in the world around us, in our relationships around us. And this is what the angels were getting a glimpse into. Though the world of humans had no clue yet, through this baby and the life He was going to live, and then His death, and then He was going to rise again 3 days later, defeating death and offering new life to all who believe in Him, Jesus was going to make it possible for people to be made right with God, to go from being separated and distant and even enemies of God to being together and close and, get this, friends of God. That's what the angels are singing about. Peace on earth with whom God is pleased. Well, who is God pleased with? He's pleased with those who trust His Son, Jesus. God is pleased with those who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead. God is pleased with people who take joy in the gift of His Son, Jesus, in spite of their circumstances. And here's what happens. When we have peace with God, it starts to reshape and reorder everything else in our lives. We begin to be at peace with ourselves. Right? We enter into the rest of Jesus. We stop living busy and hurried lives, our hearts grow softer, our ears begin to hear Him as we take time to slow down and spend time with God in silence. He makes us into people of peace. Jesus calls them peacemakers, the people who work for peace because they've experienced that with God. And now they have something to offer those around them. Which means it begins to flow into our relationships with other people. The Spirit of King Jesus teaches us to forgive and to let go of bitterness and to love other people the way He loves us. He works in us to bring peace to the chaotic world around us. Wallen Lake Community Church, don't miss this. Jesus is not just going to make your life easy and comfortable and conflict-free. He's not a magic genie that you say yes to and now all of a sudden your life is perfect and free of conflict. But He will use you to start making the life around you and within you peaceful and restored and brought back to wholeness. That's the gospel lived out. He'll empower you to enter into the tension of others so that you can handle misunderstandings or disagreements or conflict in a way that brings the peace of heaven to the earth below. You'll become someone who carries the peace of Jesus into the broken and hurting world around you. And that's why I say the splendor of Christ is the spirit of Christmas. We don't have to settle for anything less. We can let the Jesus, the Prince of Peace, do only what He can do inside of us. Let Him quiet the chaos in our hearts. Let Him bring healing to the broken places in our lives. We can let the Prince of Peace make us into people of peace who create places of peace around us. Amen? Let Him transform you into somebody who reflects His will and His kingdom in every part of your life. Especially during this season. The spirit of Christmas isn't about all these warm fuzzies. The splendor of Christ is the spirit of Christmas. And what is He calling us to? He's calling us to trust Him. He's bringing us joy. And He's offering peace. So here's the question. What are you going to do with that? This isn't just a nice message for December. It's a life-changing invitation for every season. As we're closing here, I want to ask you, are you going to let the Spirit of Jesus speak to you? To rescue you, to change you, and to lead you? Are you seeing the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? That the Spirit produces fruit in us. And the Spirit of Jesus is the Holy Spirit working inside of us. And if the splendor of Christ is the spirit of Christmas, then there should be fruit evident not only in our lives, but in our situations that Jesus is working in. It's easy to get caught up in the season of Christmas without truly wrestling with the spirit of Christmas. It's like I've already been to 4 Christmas programs and 2 Christmas parties, and I've got 3 more, and what's a white elephant? We just get caught up. There's so many things. And oh man, they brought this gift, but I only brought this. And like now I'm comparing myself and I'm in a whole host of mess. It's easy to experience the feelings of Christmas without encountering the spirit of Christmas Himself, without spending time in the presence of Jesus. He is active, He's alive, and He's inviting you into personal moments with Him. Will you go with Him? If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want to encourage you, don't leave here today without responding to His invitation. The greatest gift that you could receive this Christmas is the joy and the peace of knowing you've been made right with God, that your sins are forgiven. Will you believe that Jesus, He lived, He died, and He rose again so that you could be made right with God? Will you accept His offer of forgiveness today? It's already happened. The gift is already wrapped and offered to you. All you have to do is receive it. And the way that you receive it, you say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess the same thing about me that You do. But I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus not only to live a perfect life, but to to die on my behalf, to take the punishment for all of the sins that I've committed, and that he died and he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again from the dead. And I believe that, and I believe that he did that for me, to pay the penalty for my sin. And when he arose 3 days later, he arose to give me, he defeated death to give me new life. And then now, I want to start walking with you, God. I want your Holy Spirit to fill me. I want to be empowered by you to please you, God, because now I've been made right with you. God, will you forgive me and make me right with you and indwell me? Because I want to live for you. You can be made right with God and be forgiven and experience the peace and the joy and the purpose and the hope that is available for all those with whom God is pleased. Maybe you already have a relationship with him. The good news of Christmas is not just that Jesus came then, but that he's here now. Amen? Don't let this Christmas pass by without letting him speak to you, without your heart being soft. Let the Spirit of Jesus meet you right where you're at. Let him fill the restless place in your life with his peace. Let him bring you joy in the middle of brokenness. Let him lead you to prioritize your life for his kingdom, not just this Christmas, but every single season. Because it's the splendor of Christ that is the spirit of Christmas. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for the best gift ever, which is the opportunity to be made right with God through what you have done here on earth when you died and you rose again. And we celebrate that even Christmas, this season, because it reminds us of the low place that you took in and among our lives, the mess that you entered into because of your great love for us. So Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning that either doesn't know you, I pray that, you would soften their hearts and speak loud and clear to them and lead them to the point of going all in, surrendering everything, saying, I give it up, Lord. Fighting against you, resisting you, trying to do this on my own, I surrender. Lord, I need you to come in and be the Lord of my life. And for those who have already done that, Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts to invite you into those moments, those spaces, to bring peace to us and to reorder our priorities in this Christmas season. Pray this in the name of Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Amen.